from the Triple M studios.
God, it's all happening.
This is the Marty Shear Gold Show. Triple M.
Have you ever been dacked? Where were you dacked? It was a real thing for young boys at one point when I was at school to dack each other.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're just innocently standing there having a sausage roll inside a bread roll.
Yeah.
And then bang, your pants around your ankles.
Fly me to the moon.
Man. Tough when your hands are occupied too.
That's when you get it. Yeah. If you really want to dack a guy, you've got to get him when his hands are occupied.
And we're not condoning dacking.
Oh, look, I think it's still innocent.
Okay.
You know, I think systemic dacking of one individual constantly, absolutely not.
No.
But sharing dacking around.
Yeah.
It was certainly of a time when we were growing up.
Dacking, though. Yeah. Where were you dacked? Who dacked you?
The monkey bars is a classic.
Classic dacking material. Monkey bars. Kanye West's wife, Bianca Censori. Now, I would normally never talk about either of these people because I reckon Kanye is just about as close to anyone who needs to be committed as anyone I've ever seen. Yeah. He has completely unravelled this bloke.
He has.
From the day, I reckon, when I was first worried about Kanye was when he had a bulletproof vest on and was talking about one of the Kardashians deciding to end her pregnancy.
Yes, he went into TMZ and was talking to TMZ.
No, he was trying, at this stage, he was trying to run for president, remember? Mm. He had absolutely flipped from the gold digger Kanye that we all loved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good song.
Well, Kanye West's wife, Bianca Censori, who's an Aussie, by the way, has been photographed in yet another explicit outfit this week. She gets a bit skimpy on the clothes, it has to be said.
Yeah.
She doesn't like covering everything, and I don't have an issue with that, but some of the more conservative people around the world probably think she's underdressed.
My issue with it is that I think he is...
telling her what to wear?
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
She was wearing neon green tights as a pair of pants, which clearly they're not, and paired with a tiny, what's been described as a light beige boob tube. And it is literally... It's like, you know those elastics that you put around your quads when you're trying to do those weird stretches as you walk across the gym?
Yes, exactly that.
That's what she's wearing as a top.
Yeah.
And she got a fair set of lungs on her, it has to be said.
Deep breath.
Well done.
That expression just kills you.
I just love that expression. First hit a lot.
Was that a message to me or a comment?
It was a comment.
It was a comment. Yeah. It was a comment.
With my picture with Eric Banner, excuse me.
That's right. It was a photo up on Instagram with one comment under it just said about Loz. A fair set of lungs. That was all it was. No mention of Eric or the interview.
Oh, well, lean into it, Loz. Lean into it, Loz.
Scuba Barry. Yeah.
She got a paddy license that day. Couldn't believe it. She could go to 40 metres. We never got to the actual story.
No.
Kanye West has been seen pulling down his partner, Bianca Censori's tights to reveal a bit of the old plumber's crack.
Yeah.
Many people have raised concerns about Bianca being controlled by Kanye, including Censori's close friends. Well, let's hope that that is not happening.
Yes. Yeah.
Hello, Barry.
G'day, Marty. How you doing?
Wonderful, hi, mate. Barry. Have you ever been dacked, Barry?
No, I haven't been dacked. The old man got dacked. The beauty. He was at the boat show.
Yeah.
And he's jumped out of his car to go in to work. And he's jammed his finger in the door.
Oh.
So he's undone his belt because he couldn't get his keys.
Yeah.
And then his main opposition guy saw what was going on, went over, dad's got his belt undone. Yeah. He's ripped his strides undies the whole lot down and walked away, left him there standing in the car.
Couldn't reach his keys because his finger's stuck in the door.
No.
That is a professional dacker at work.
That's a
guy who's he's almost a predator. He's seen an opportunity to dack. And he has gone with it.
Yeah.
He has pounced. So Scott, were you dacked?
Yes, year 8, school sports day. I just won the 400-metre track race.
Well done.
We're on the podium accepting my medal.
Yeah.
And one of my mates actually came in second place, and he thought that would be the best time to give me the old dack. So in front of the school, on the top of the podium, down dried undies and all.
Oh, no.
No.
You don't want the undies to go when you dack. I mean, if you're the person dacking, the objective is to get the undies as well.
Of course, yeah.
But if you're being dacked, you'd prefer it was just the shorts.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Thank you, Scott.
Yeah, come on, sorry, Scott.
Exactly.
Really put some thought in. Exactly.
Scott, signing off.
Signing off. Thank you for having me on the Marty Sheargold Show.
Exactly.
This is Triple M.
The Marty Sheargold Show. Triple M.
I've seen some crazy stories, but this one's right up there. Horrified doctors removed a 30-centimetre-long live eel from a man's belly after apparently slid up his rectum.
Oh. What?
Rectum. Turn down for what? Damn near killed him.
A live eel too, just live squirming around
in your abdomen. The 34-year-old man from northern Quang Ninh province in Vietnam was admitted to hospital with severe abdominal cramps after complaining of stomach aches.
I bet.
I'm not surprised.
No.
Like he's not sure what happened?
Yeah, I know.
Just my guts are a bit
rough. He didn't put it there.
The patient was given urgent surgery to remove the mystery object. When the surgeon opened up his abdomen, they were stunned to see the eel.
Yeah, I'm not going to be like calm seeing an eel, a live eel swimming around someone's belly.
No, you'd be stunned.
I'm going to be stunned.
The delicate operation in Hai Ha district went without a hitch and the man was quickly stabilised following the ordeal. There's a photo of the eel being pulled out of his guts there.
That is amazing.
When quizzed about how the eel could have ended up in his billy, in his belly, the patient couldn't provide an answer. But medics believe it entered his anus, slid up his colon, and somehow entered his abdomen. Oh, well, I mean, there's only one way that could happen. You've shoved an eel up your ass.
Clearly.
Well, what, you think an eel just poked around his bum hole and he never went out?
Surely not. As a baby eel.
No, mate. He shoved an eel up his
dad. He
loved it.
On Triple M, this is the Marty Sheargold Show. I'll leave a some here.
Something from the subcontinent here.
Story from the subcontinent. Yeah. This one's hard to understand. It's even harder to believe. Indian police cleared a suspected Chinese spy pigeon after 8 months' detention and have released it back into the wild.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know how you suspect a pigeon initially. I don't know who's on pigeon watch.
He's hanging around a bit too much, this pigeon.
It's if you had a pigeon sitting on your windowsill, would you even recognise it as a pigeon you'd seen before?
No.
No.
Jeez. Maybe depends they tagged how long it's there.
I wonder if it was smoking wearing a beret.
Maybe it
French pigeon.
A French pigeon. They're all spies, the French. Never trust a Frenchman.
I thought they thought it was a Chinese spy.
Yeah, they did, but I'm just taking this sideways and reminding people to never trust the French.
Got it.
Police suspected it was involved in espionage and took it in, later sending it to Mumbai's Bhai Sacharabhai Dinshaw Petit Hospital for Animals.
Oh, no. Oh. Maybe they were torturing it into confessing or something.
Oh, it had two rings tied to its legs. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
Looks like it had Chinese writing on them.
Oh, so they've gone, oh, look, this pigeon's flying in with rings attached to it to deliver a message to someone.
Are they suggesting it was like a drone, like a robot pigeon?
Like a carrier pigeon?
No, it's a real pigeon because they sent it to the animal hospital.
Yeah.
It turned out the pigeon was an open water racing bird from Taiwan that had escaped and made its way to India.
God, that was a. It thought it was onto a free world and then it.
Yeah, it would have, been equally confusing for the pigeon.
Yeah,
which
of course.
I think is being forgotten in this story.
Yeah, the poor pigeon.
He's gone from Taiwan to Mumbai. He must have thought, Jesus, I've buggered this up.
Took a wrong turn.
I'm taking a wrong turn.
This is at home.
It's not where I wanted to be.
This is not where I want to be. Now I'm in an animal hospital. They've taken my rings off me.
Hope he had his visa sorted.
He was stuck in transit for 14 hours.
No vending machines there.
Couldn't get a snack. That's India for you. They're a funny old mob, the Indians.
The Marty Sheargold Show. Triple M.
Who did you wee next to is the question we're just quickly asking now. Who did you wee next to? You just popped up at the urinal and it was like, Jesus Christ, I never expected to see you here.
Yeah.
Australian social media content creators Shep Mates.
Yes.
Have apologised after being criticised for invading the privacy of a star F1 driver in a now-deleted video at the GP. On Saturday, Shep Mates posted a video to their TikTok account captioned, POV, when you meet George Russell at the urinals.
Mm.
He's a Mercedes driver. Mm-hmm. He's in what appears to be a toilet block at Melbourne's Albert Park. He's got his full racing suit on. And later in the video, he says, so I just took a piss next to George Russell. Yeah. I know what you're thinking. How big is it? Yeah. That stays between me and George. There's confidentiality in the men's urinal.
Of course.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, but if it was just you and I, Troy, and I'd seen somebody in the urinal, I would come out and tell you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And vice versa, I would too.
It's like Matthew did this at the Grand Prix last year.
If but it was, say, Joel Edgerton, I would come out and go, Jesus.
But you're not going to film them.
Joel Yeserton.
Sam McGinn.
No, I'd tell you the same.
Sam, who was with us at the Grand Prix, he did a wee next to a driver as well on Friday.
Well, how come the public can get so close to the driver?
It's where we are.
I don't like that.
Lauren's trying to say it's not the public.
No. Well, there's still the public.
Yeah, it is still
the
public.
The shipmates are public.
It's right there.
I should have like a driver's club.
I would have thought
a driver's toilet.
Yeah, it's strange.
Yeah, because there's all these corporate areas are above the pits. Yeah. And so you go downstairs to wee and you share toilets with the teams and then the drivers are often part of that. Matthew weed next to Kevin Magnussen last year.
Yeah, remember when Matthew tried to intimidate me with his wee here at work?
Winks, yeah.
And did the full winks next to me in the cubicle next door. Tried to winks me. Just with this heavy, strong stream, which of course I no longer have because of my age. It's all a bit dribbly and prostate. But he was just like...
It's all he could do at this point in his career with you.
Well, that's all he can do, actually, now that I think about him and his career. He's just good at wee.
Matt Kirby David, we called him after that.
Hello, Mark. How are you going?
G'day, mate. How are you going?
Never better, Mark. Who'd you wee next to?
I weed next to Barry Sheen in a urinal at the Phillip Island racetrack back in the 90s.
Wonderful, Mark. Barry Sheen, one of the greats.
It was the middle of winter, Marty, and he said to me, it's effing cold down here. Yeah. I hate coming down here in effing winter time.
Oh. Tell us what you really think, Barry. He was a Scotsman, wasn't he, Barry Sheen?
No, he was an Englishman.
An Englishman.
Yeah, he was a champion, actually.
He'd know about the weather.
I reckon.
And Phillip Island, in fairness to
freezing.
Barry. When the wind blows at Phillip Island, it is fresh.
Straight off Bass Strait. Who'd you have a wee next to, Simone?
Kathy Freeman.
Oh!
Hang on.
The urinal?
No.
A she-wee? Were you standing up?
No. Just in the cubicle next to her. Relax, Marty.
How did you know it was her?
Well, when I went out, we were both washing our hands at the tap, and in the time, I was in London, and she was with Joel Edgerton at the time, and she went and introduced me afterwards, and we were besties all night. A napkin, because I was drunk, and it was a great night out.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Memories, Simone, yeah?
Yep.
Yeah, memories.
Yeah, good chat, mate. Hello, Paul.
I was in a restaurant many years ago in Lion Street, and I look at the bloke next to me, and it's Mike Williamson, the footy commentator, I give him the Jizzalinko, you guilty.
Did he love it, Paul?
And he hugged me.
You would have got wee all over each other.
He pissed on my leg.
The Marty Sheargold Show is on Triple M. This is the Marty Sheargold Show.
What has to go in an Australian time capsule is the question we're asking.
Do we mean like everyday things?
I mean anything. Maybe you're trying to make a case that Guy Sebastian's latest album should go in there. Obviously, it's a no from me.
Okay.
But you could make the case.
But you could. Yeah. I'm happy to hear that.
What about, could I make a suggestion, like a price list for Macca's or KFC?
Oh, that's nice. An excellent one.
Document.
Yeah, yes. Document so that you can compare that.
I'm suggesting a stubby holder has to go in.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, great.
A bunning snag.
Yeah.
Oh!
Bunning snag.
Sausage and bread.
I don't know if we want perishables or something.
No, we'll coat it in resin.
Vacuum pack.
Vacuum pack.
Barrow Island is located 60 kilometres off the Pilbara in WA. It was once a hill overlooking an expansive coast, and this was the northwestern shelf of the Australian continent, now permanently submerged by the ocean.
Yeah.
This is fun. New research shows that Aboriginal people repeatedly lived on portions of this coastal plateau. The use of the plane likely began, wait for this, 50,000 years ago.
Jeez.
It remained habitable until rising sea levels cut off the island from the mainland 6,500 years ago.
Yeah.
That's not that long in time. In time. The northwestern shelf and the submerged coastlines of Australia are immensely significant for understanding how and where First Nations people lived before and during the last ice age.
Which wasn't that long ago either.
Well, that was only 25,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Some say 19,000 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Depends on who you ask.
Yeah. If we had to put a time capsule together now, what are we whacking in it?
Okay. Let's go to Amy.
Hello, Amy.
Hey, how you going?
Wonderful. Amy. What are we putting in?
Got to be a jar of Vegemite, right?
Absolutely, of course.
It has to be a jar of Vegemite.
Goes without saying. You must.
Maybe a squeezy, though.
I'm not sold on the squeezy jar.
Yeah, but it's a moment in this time.
That's what I mean. You know? We're representing 2024.
I'd prefer someone to finish a jar of Vegemite in the future and have to really knife it out.
Yeah, there's a strange. I love the squeezy for its practicality, but it's a different texture.
I don't like it.
Mm. You use it every day. We've got jars in there. We've got jars, you know.
Well, it's quick. I didn't know we had jars.
Brett, Marty,
hello, Brett.
Hey, Marty, how you going?
Wonderful, mate. What are we whacking in?
Oh, has to be the 4 and 20 pie.
Absolutely. Oh, been there for it all. No Mrs. Max, no Boss Castle, none of that gear.
Would you put a little squeezy sauce in there with it, Brett?
Yeah, or optional barbecue sauce as well.
Oh.
Austral.
Optional.
I was like, we're all trying to think of that brand. I'm like, yeah. Austral barbecue. I know the one in the orange bottle. Yeah. That's not Austral.
Austral make bricks, I think.
Google.
Thank you, Brett. What should go in the Aussie time capsule? What do you got on Insta?
We had a good idea. The size of a cheeseburger, and we can see what shrinkflation does.
Yes. Nice. Yes. Gee, that's a good
idea. Or a Big Mac.
You wouldn't even have to wrap up a Big Mac. I mean, we've seen them 40, 50 years old.
Maybe not that long, but yeah.
Just look exactly like a cheeseburger.
They just stay.
We had AJ who said Sam Pang's Logie monologue.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Future generations can see what we all laughed at last year.
Laughed at. Don't be stupid, mate.
Damo!
Hey, guys. How you going?
Wonderful, mate. How are you?
That's great, thanks. It's got to be the can of the VB, mate.
Yeah.
Of course. VB. I mean, it's Australia's beer.
Yeah.
I mean, years ago, you would have put a can of Foster's in there.
Mm. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But what's more famous in the beer? I mean, you could put a Carlton Draft in there, I suppose.
Yeah.
In terms of an Aussie beer.
Mm. Yeah.
VB, though.
What else are you going to put in there? Carlton Draft, VB.
I have a feeling that
Northern is the highest selling beer.
I think you're right. I think it is.
Oh, some good suggestions there.
There's a lot of ladies that have started drinking beer. Because if you're drinking Great Northern, you're a woman.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if that's right.
No, isn't it? Is that what it says?
I've seen you drink one.
On Triple M, this is the Marty Sheargold Show.
Todger, tragedies is the area we're moving in. Yeah. Uh-oh, my undercarriage.
Uh-oh.
How'd you bust up the boys?
The boys?
All of that gear.
Yeah.
Dictories. How did you hurt your downstairs friend?
Yeah.
And I don't mean the cleaner. I mean your actual penis. Who's that?
Is it Ben Stokes?
Ben Stokes.
Ben Stokes.
Let's have a listen to that again.
Oh, the dick!
It's pretty clear on where it hit him.
Doesn't leave much to the imagination.
Did you bust the boys? Any of those variations?
Willy Wattwos.
NHS surgeon Dr. Karan Raj has revealed the single most dangerous sex position that you should watch out for.
Oh.
He claims it's responsible for 50% of penile fractures.
Ooh.
How'd you hurt your old fella? Penile fractures, it's emotional language. I don't ever want to hear that.
Snappage.
Yeah. I don't ever want to be in a room with another man where he's discussing penile fractures with me. The most dangerous sex position, according to this medical expert, is the reverse cowgirl.
Yeehaw!
Get on, lady.
Reverse it.
Get on and turn it around.
Okay.
We're going to cowgirl town.
Not okay like that. I meant like, okay, everyone.
Oh, right. I thought you were agreeing.
No.
That seemed like consent. We got some consent over here on the side of the desk there, William.
It's a consent rodeo.
It's a consent rodeo now. Line up for us. We got a live one.
That sounded...
Obviously, I'm having some
Totally.
Of course. Yeah, I am just enjoying making radio.
Yeah.
Dr. Raj states if there is any erratic thrusting or if the movements of the two parties, I think he means the two people, are not in sync, the male can be crushed by the female pubic bone.
Crushed.
Oh, Stokes, he settled down.
Pubic bone.
Hello, Andy.
First time, long time.
Good on you, Andy.
Guys, I had a niece. Oh, she's about 33 now. When she was about three, she was stepping out of the bath. I had a bit of a slip and ended up with a couple of stitches between A and B.
Oh, really? Oh, no, the poor darling.
That's horrible.
So her brother had these friends that were twin brothers when they were about seven or eight. They were out riding their BMXs, and old mate's done the jump. He's come off the jump, gone forward on his bike.
Oh.
He's had a bit of a split between A and B as well.
Oh, no. Like the handlebars.
He ended up with stitches. Well, all these years later, these two are actually married and got four kids together.
Oh, wow. Happy ending.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quite literally. Thank you, Andy. Hey, Cherie, how are you going, mate?
Good, thanks. How are you?
I'm wonderful, buddy. Have you had an issue downstairs or been involved in an issue downstairs?
I have. Long story short, back when I was 18, I was loading my horse onto a float and he's gone to run back and the steel clip of the lead has broken up from the tension and it hit me right into my vagina, like right,
Jesus.
For the women will know, right on the hard part, like
okay.
Down the bottom.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. The way you said vagina, it sounded like vagina.
Yeah, like
had a strong yeah. It felt like I was eating Mexican yeah. for a while.
And down at Fonda.
Can I have a vagina, please, and some chips with
chicken or beef?
Oh, Cherie, was
that's
it okay?
That's awful, Cherie.
Is it
what
okay
a
now?
Horrible story.
But yeah, and I had some major bruising, very ooh. Embarrassing in front of my mum and dad, screaming.
Oh yeah,
poor vagina.
And yeah,
poor sweet vagina.
Terribly awful for you. What have you got on Insta? Were you?
We've been playing the Ben Stokes grab.
Oh yeah, this one here.
And Justin on Instagram reminded us that we have the version that Cherie can refer to.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, right in the veg.
Alyssa Healy.
Who was that?
Alyssa Healy.
Alyssa
not that long ago.
Oh, right in the veg.
The Marty Sheargold Show. Triple M. It's the
Dumps Academy. Here we go. Putting someone in from Monday morning, Marty.
Oh, this guy's an idiot. A tan-obsessed man is the headline. A man's been warned about the dangers of developing skin cancer after sharing the extreme measures he takes to achieve a bronzed complexion.
Nothing healthy about a tan.
No.
No, there really isn't. The man, who appears to be running his very own nasal spray brand,
yeah.
What's this bit?
Oh.
Can regularly be seen popping in a sunbed, despite them long being linked with skin cancer. Remember that awful story?
Yes.
Was it an Australian story of a young Australian woman that was...
I do remember that.
And she passed away?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're actually banned in Australia as far as
because
I'm pretty sure they are.
For
a long, long time.
Long time. And I can't believe there's still people in the world that just think it's a good idea to use.
Yeah.
We've banned them and Brazil's banned them.
Right.
He also swears by special nasal sprays. What's with the nasal spray thing?
Getting a plug?
Is it Dimetapp?
Dimetapp.
I'll use Dimetapp after, you know, a head cold.
Yeah. Of course.
The NHS urges people to stay away from sunbeds due to the harmful UV rays. Well, this is just common sense now. He reckons he's developed an emotional relationship with them.
With a tanning bed?
With a tanning bed.
Not nasal sprays.
No.
Or might be that too.
Well, I don't understand the nasal spray
thing. No, me neither.
He's speaking of their true love story in inverted commas. The tanning super fan revealed he can't go a day without sunbeds. Let me go wild. And he starts missing them on the days he doesn't pop in for a quick bronzing session. Is this guy simple?
Look how brown he is.
He's like, so brown.
But has he got tattoos as well?
He's pulled his pants down to show you the difference between his skin colour.
He's actually cooked himself.
He has
so
literally,
bad.
He has put himself in an oven and cooked himself.
He's like a rotisserie chicken.
Yeah, and what happens if he takes his shorts off?
Oh, he'd look ridiculous.
He'd look crazy. It's like, I don't know what to say about this guy. Sunbeds increase the risk of skin cancer by up to 20%.
Mm-hmm.
And they state they have no positive benefits to our health.
No.
What a dunce.
Let's put him in.
Throw him in. Mind you, abs for days.
He's got a good rig. Yeah.
He's hot.
It's Troy's hot.
I like his tan, actually. His tan's good.
Yeah, he's fine.
On Triple M, this is the Marty Sheargold Show.
A movie biopic about Ozzy and Sharon Osbourne is in the works, and it'll focus on a 20-year period of their lives.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Jeez. We were just chatting off air about how Ozzy would have gone without Sharon.
Oh, he wouldn't have.
Not at all.
It doesn't feel like Ozzy would still be with us
no.
if Sharon wasn't. wasn't following him around picking up glasses.
Yeah. But how much has she put up with?
Oh,
with him.
Well, it's... even recently, not that long ago, he had quite a long-term affair. Yeah. And she stood by him.
Don't think so, darling.
I'll play that audio.
Yes.
Someone has been in my room and taken my bears away from my room.
I don't think so, darling. Who would do that? Who could possibly do that? Who's the bear thief? You. You're the beer thief. Oh. You're the beer thief.
That's how you deal with Aussie.
That's the noisy,
Shut
mate.
His nails are like, oh, God, he's a mess.
You just you just chaperone him around the house. You get him into a room you want him in.
Yep.
And then you put the telly on.
Yep. Sit down here, darling.
Put a couple of cans in front of him.
Yeah.
And check in with him every hour or so. Make sure he hasn't done anything stupid.
Pretty easy maintenance. Really.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
If you can get him to the room you want him in.
Yeah.
There's an untitled film in the works. Sharon and Ozzy have given an update on the movie during the new episode of their podcast, which is simply called the Osbournes Podcast.
Yes.
Sharon and Ozzy, it's focusing on them from 1979 through to 1999. We've got to grab here.
Yeah, we do.
Well, by the time it eventually gets filmed, I'll be dead, I think.
Movies take forever to make.
Yeah.
Forever.
I know who I want come to on, play sir. Mom.
Yeah. I
want
to be alive to see.
Oh, no. Podcast doesn't sound great.
No, there's a bit of talk over.
Yeah.
But that was the young one,
Kelly,
suggesting that her mother is played by Florence Pugh.
Yeah.
And the family discussed who should play Ozzy.
You know who I want to play, Dad?
Who?
Bill Hader.
Who?
Yeah, Bill Hader. Think he'd be brilliant.
F*** off.
That's his answer to everything.
He doesn't even know who it is.
He didn't know, but then he showed him a photo, and it's so funny.
And the reaction was this.
Off.
Oh, honestly, that was his reaction. He goes, first of all, he goes, who? Bill Hader. Never heard of him.
I spent some time watching their podcast and I was laughing. That's just him. He's so ridiculous.
We're asking,
I don't think so, darling.
We're asking the question, who deserves a biopic in Australia?
Oh, yeah.
All right, Bob.
Rob.
It's Rob.
Oh, Rob.
Hello, sorry. Rob.
How you going, guys?
Good, yeah, mate. Good, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad.
Who do you think deserves a biopic? Which Australian?
I'd have to say Hugh Jackman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Good story, nice. Hugh. Who are you thinking can play him, Rob?
Well, there's only one person who can play him. Actually, there's two. You can have Hugh Jackman play Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, of course.
Because he can do it all.
Yeah.
And I reckon the other one would be Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, okay. Ryan Reynolds
playing Hugh Jackman.
Attempting the accent.
Oh, you know, the whole Deadpool.
Yeah, they do that.
Well, straight off the bat, I'm thinking Shane Jacobson.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, great.
Okay, he can do it all.
Hugh Jackman!
The Marty Sheargold Show is on Triple M. This is the Marty Sheargold Show.
Where did you have your heart attack?
Yeah.
Frightening things.
Yep. Absolutely.
48-year-old Dick Chung was warming up for the Great Eastern Run in Peterborough in the United Kingdom when he fell ill and collapsed to the ground.
Oh, no.
Dick.
Collapsed. Dick collapsed. He laid passed out for 20 seconds. I'm going to hold off on the jokes until I find out if Dick's lived or died.
He's lived. Yeah.
Thank God.
Okay.
Gloves are off. Mr. Chung. He laid passed out for 20 seconds before being helped to his feet by fellow runners. Nice. Dick's up. Despite feeling dazed and confused, we've all felt that, Dick ran the 12 and a half kilometre race in an hour 35.
He still did it.
Well, if it's a half marathon, that should be 20, over 20 Ks.
Mm. That's true.
Was it a half marathon?
I want. Yes.
Now Dick says he's lucky to be alive. If it wasn't for the half marathon, I don't think I'd be here today. Soon after finishing the race, Dick felt dizzy.
Yeah.
And went to the St. John ambulance tent for help. Workers administered an electrocardiogram and found he had an abnormal heart rhythm.
Right, okay.
It's not what you want.
Things are well.
Before
things
you do
right.
things like that, you're supposed to see your GP.
Yeah, just to make sure everything's okay.
Just go, look, am I actually physically okay to do this?
Yeah, give me the once over.
It's a lot of training.
Yeah.
He was urged to go to the nearby city hospital. He said, I felt dizzy and unwell and I remember them telling me it was serious.
An invasive angiogram revealed I had blocked arteries and would have to have a triple bypass.
Triple?
Oh, my goodness. Jeez.
It was a complete shock. So Dick never saw any of this coming.
Yeah.
No. A man Dick had Trump. A heart attack.
I know.
Yeah, Dick.
Dick.
Yeah, but he survived.
Yeah.
He survived. He's okay.
He underwent successful heart surgery and was discharged. You don't...
Dick, oh, no.
You don't need discharged.
No.
He was sent home.
He was sent home.
Okay, Dick was sent home.
Dick discharged himself, and the recovery's been slow as my chest bone had to heal. Oh, that's one where they've got to like, cut through your sternum.
Yes. Crack you open.
Oh, no. Jesus Christ. Dean, how are you going?
Good. G'day, guys. How are you?
Good, wonderful. Dean. Good. Dean, how was your heart attack? Where was it?
I was driving, mate. I had a 20-minute drive.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, so I was going to watch my daughter play in a netball grand final and just had a, felt like indigestion, but, yeah, I just pulled over as she ran across the road and rang an ambulance and spent the next 2 weeks in with a triple bypass.
Oh, oh Jesus. Wow. Did they cut through your sternum?
Yeah.
Oh,
that, God, that must hurt.
It does. Afterwards it does.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
How long does that take to sort of re-knit?
12 weeks.
12 weeks before that comes back together.
Wow.
I know. After six, I had the surgeon ring me, ask me what I was doing. I said, oh, I've made the launch today, I've whippersnipped. And he's, no, you can't do that.
Yeah, you've got to take it easy, Dean.
Yeah, so.
So you're supposed to, for 12 weeks, you're supposed to literally do nothing, nothing strenuous.
Yep, you're not allowed to drive for 7 weeks.
Oh, my God.
But I have a truck license, so I'm not allowed to drive for 3 months. So
right, okay. Yeah, okay. God almighty, what a pain. No, but
all good now after 5 months back at work.
Well done. Yeah.
Good on you, Dean.
Look Thanks after yourself, call. Mate. Yeah. Less of the red wine, more of the smokes.
No.
No? More of the smoke. No. More smokes, no, more red wine.
No smokes.
No smokes. No.
Thanks, Dish.
The Marty Shear Gold Show. Triple M.
What's your one rule for life? If you could only give somebody one rule for a better life, what would it be?
What would be one of yours?
Oh, measure twice, cut once.
Which is good.
It is.
It is really
that
good.
Is
it
good.
Is such a great rule for life.
Yeah.
Just be sure.
Just be sure.
Yeah.
My rule would be just forget about what everyone else thinks.
That's a good one.
That's your rule.
Yeah.
It takes a long time to learn that
it
one.
It does. And if does. You forget that, you can actually just be a much happier person.
What about be in the moment? Enjoy the moment.
Stay in the moment.
Enjoy the now.
Yep.
So true. Yeah. If you can stay present and in the moment, nothing can get to you.
That's right. Yeah. Easier said than done.
Mindfulness, mate.
It is. Yeah.
Meditation, yoga, Pilates.
All that sort of stuff.
All that stuff.
Okay.
Gout.
Yeah.
I tell you what keeps you in the moment.
Yeah.
Gout.
Yeah. It's like a reminder.
When your foot's throbbing and it feels like someone's sticking a hot knitting needle into it, that keeps you in the moment.
Do you want Nick to get the other ice pack?
No, I will get the other ice pack, actually.
I put it in the freezer. It's in the freezer in the main kitchen, Nick.
Yeah.
Top drawer.
If you can hear it.
Yeah. I don't know where it is.
Top drawer, freezer, main kitchen.
Main kitchen. You know where it is.
Albert Einstein was more than just a famous physicist. He would freely give life advice to many of his friends and acquaintances.
He seemed like that kind of guy.
He was very complicated. These rules for a better life are taken from the book The Einstein Effect, which was part of the official social media site for the Einstein Estate. And a guy called Benjamin.
Benjamin?
Is it supposed to be Benjamin?
It couldn't be.
Is it really Benjamin?
I hope not.
As in Netanyahu?
It's the only other Benjamin I know.
Benjamin. What an awful name.
Yeah.
Benjamin.
Yeah. It just looks like a typo.
It looks like a typo.
It's Benjamin.
It's Benjamin?
Yeah.
It's like if you were called Margie Shiergold.
Margie! Benjamin. Benjamin reckons these are some of the rules that Einstein backed in.
Right.
Here's the best and the most universally applicable lessons from Einstein.
Yeah.
Rule number one, expand your efforts on the things that matter.
Mm.
This is his idea for how you can live a better life.
Expand.
What did I say?
Expand. Matt, you there?
Hi, g'day. How you going, guys?
Wonderful, Matt. How are you, mate?
Great. Good to have you back, Marty.
Good on you, Matt. What's your one rule for a better life, buddy?
Your battles.
Pick your battles.
Oh, yeah. Good one.
I work with a few young guys at work and some young ones at home.
Yeah.
I tend to tend to worry about the little things and instead of
big picture.
Yeah.
Big picture. Exactly. Yeah.
That's young people though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, generally.
Yeah, they're cut from a different cloth, young people. Not only are they entitled, they also had to have a heady mix of laziness and unwillingness to achieve any of the tasks that are put in front of them.
Some.
Oh, don't talk to me about that, Marty. Working with some young guys at the hardware store, it gets a bit tough.
Oh, don't talk to me about it because I've got a room full of them in front of me.
Hey!
And I'll say to them, hey, can you ring that person for me? And an email.
Ring him yourself!
An email will get sent off. I said, hey, did we not discuss ringing that person? Oh, I don't like ringing people.
That's just me.
Ringing people makes me really nervous and I feel uncomfortable.
Okay, well, now you're just attacking me because no one else is afraid of making phone calls, just me.
What if they say no?
On Triple M, this is the Marty Sheargold Show.
Where'd you see the snake?
Yes.
I love these kind of phoners. I never see snakes. When was the last time you saw a snake? I reckon I saw one in Albury about 15 years ago.
Last year when I was up in Cairns.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They were on the path.
I was on the path and I stepped over it.
A Queensland mum was horrified when she discovered a 4-foot-long brown snake in her daughter's bedroom last week.
Oh, that's not where you want to see it.
No, absolutely not. It had slithered into the family home in Moodloo. Where's that?
Oh. Never heard.
Never even heard of it. Moodloo.
North of
Moodloo.
Oh, near Moreton.
Near Moreton Bay.
Ah. Oh.
Moodloo.
318 people.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it's tiny.
Looks like hell on earth.
So when you say.
About an hour north of Brisbane. Griffo from the Sunshine Coast Snake Catchers was called out to the house after the owner found the big adult eastern brown snake on the dresser.
On the dresser?
Jeez. Oh, there he is there. There's the photo of him.
Jeez.
A brown.
They're bad ones, aren't they? Yeah.
It was sitting next to a porcelain budgie. Yeah, they're the worst, I think. Is it them or the top 10?
Comparable.
They're, in the top 10.
I've always considered the brown to be the bad one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the brown and the taipan, I reckon, are head-to-head. Where was I? The porcelain budgie sitting next to the snake there, causing speculation that the bird may have lured it inside.
Oh.
He's seen the budgie in there and thought, I'm going to get in there and eat that budgie.
It's done the opposite, like what those fake owls do for possums.
Yeah, it's attracted the snake.
Yeah.
However, snake catcher Stuart McKenzie debunked that theory. Okay, I should have read it.
Okay.
We didn't have to have any of that chat.
Still interesting. But also, what did he do?
He's saying it's a complete coincidence.
Yeah. We're learning stuff together.
A minute on it.
Did he ask the snake? He doesn't know that. The snake looks pretty attracted to the budgie.
I would have thought so. I would have thought porcelain budgie. I don't think the snake is sort of capable of discerning that the budgie is made of porcelain.
That's porcelain.
But it's a snake.
He may not be able to see that far. You know what I mean?
Separate conversation. Separate conversation.
I'm reading that snakes have notoriously poor eyesight.
Oh, well, I don't
think
he hasn't seen it through the window.
Saw him down the hallway.
They do go by vibration.
Where was that down in the third bedroom? Where was the snake, John?
I had one camped out at my front step for about a week.
Yeah, right.
Eastern Brown, and every time we called the snake catcher, it had disappeared.
Of course.
Yeah.
And then it had come back as soon as he left.
That's pretty much it. It was funny games for a while.
And how'd you get rid of it in the end?
I think my dog found it in the end.
Oh, gee, that's dangerous, though, isn't it, John?
Yeah. Well, yes.
Yeah, they whip them around.
Unfortunate for the snake, but
But thank God it was unfortunate for the snake and not for your dog.
This is it. Well, at the time it was a greyhound, so quite big.
Big one. Big
snack. And they'll eat anything, greyhound. Yeah.
Thanks, John. What do you got on Insta, Will?
We had David who says, I worked with a bloke who was a loans officer at a bank in Greensboro, and a lady he was interviewing, a snake crawled out of her bag.
Are you kidding?
She hadn't noticed it and she'd picked it up at home.
Who was it? Rhonda Birchmore?
Where was the snake? Max is with us. Marty?
Hello, Max.
Hi, Max.
Hey, mate. There you go.
Wonderful, mate.
We got a resident black snake at our place. Been there probably 4, maybe 5 years.
You just generally know where it is, Max, and give it some room?
Hangs out in my veggie garden most of the time. Ooh. And we say, if it stays out there, goes for a drink down of a dam.
Yeah.
Just leave it alone. He's entitled to life. So
Oh, sure.
He comes, if he comes around to my house or something like that inside or gets close around him, it's time to say goodbye. But
leave
him alone.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. How are you going to say goodbye to him, Max? Shovel?
The Marty Sheargold Show. Triple M.
This is awful. The photo in front of me is terrible.
Yeah.
And we're asking the question, and we've mixed it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How'd you snap a bone?
Yeah.
Snap a bone.
I remember when I was teaching gymnastics and this poor little boy swung from the rope and let go at the wrong point and he landed with his arm like that and I heard the snap and this bone was in half.
Oh, yeah.
His like forearm thing.
Tibia.
When we were playing rugby as kids, a guy called Dean Martin.
Dean Martin
was his name. What was his first name? Anyway, poor old Marto went to kick a ball that was on the ground while this other bloke went to kick the ball that was on the ground as well, and their shins collided. And it was like a rifle going off. And Marto's shin, I couldn't even look at it under his sock. His leg just had a dent in it where his bone had been snapped and pushed back, and I was like...
Well, there's no protection there.
No, shin's
awful.
But also, lesson to Marto, drop on the ball. Don't try and kick it off the ground. Side issue.
How'd you snap a bone?
Sick thinking about Marto. Lovely guy.
It's one of those
Brett Martin was his
right.
name. Brett Martin.
Very different to Dean Martin.
No, very lovely kid, Brett Martin.
Shout out to Brett.
Wonder what he's up to these days. Anyway, how'd you snap a bone?
A woman's arm broke after entering an arm wrestling competition with a complete stranger, and a year on, it's still not fully recovered.
No.
A Daisy Johnson from London was 24 at the time, celebrating Easter with her friends when she decided to take on a man in an intense arm wrestle competition.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm. Well, what sort of man would, you know, push anyone, but particularly a
would
woman.
Would agree to that.
Would push her that hard, though.
Like, yeah.
There's a point where you go, you can win.
Yeah.
Can I get you a drink?
Of course.
You know? Could be a flirting opportunity. I don't know. Confident that she'd beat him, the pair began their battle on the table. Daisy's arm broke mid-wrestle with an unmistakable cracking sound.
Oh, God.
She had one of those terrible spiral fractures in her humerus, in her upper arm.
Wouldn't find it very humorous, I would have thought.
Funny elbow. Wouldn't have thought so. Not funny elbow. Hello, Damo.
Yeah, g'day, team. How are you going?
Good.
A few years ago, dirt bike riding, went over a jump, come off, and sliding down the bloody track, and flapping around, and the radius and ulna broken straight through the skin. I was lying on the track for about 4 hours and got airlifted out.
Oh, my God. Oh, now, which bones are they?
So they're the forearm, the both forearm bones.
They were sticking out of your skin?
Oh, gosh.
They were sticking out of my skin for about 4 hours.
Oh, and the
funny thing is we lit a fire for the helicopter.
Yeah.
Right?
And started one of the great bushfires.
Started a little bushfire.
Did you?
Damo?
No.
Sometimes you've got to save yourself by starting a fire, mate.
Look at this
photo.
That's
Damo's arm.
He sent the photo on Insta.
God, look at the metal in that.
Gee,
they're two 10-centimetre long plates with 8 screws in each. Hello, Brad.
How are we?
Good. Wonderful, mate. Did you snap a bone?
I did, mate. I did. Tib and fib came off a motorbike, came short on a jump, and, clean snap out the side of the leg.
So, Brad, did you land on your feet?
So I came up short on a jump and my feet basically buried into the ground.
Into the jump.
So it was, so it was sort of like a compression. So basically my foot came straight up, so it clean snapped the bone, and then the bone came up. So my left leg was about 3 inches shorter than my right leg until they put the bone back in place.
Oh, were you in so much shock that for a little second it didn't even hurt?
I don't know, man. I woke up in hospital 3 days later.
Yeah, of course. You just
that's
had a nap.
What you want.
3 days.
3 days.
Coma.
What did they do to you, Brad? Was there a wardsman working the rooms?
I don't know, but I woke up, I had a sore bum too.
The Marty Sheargold Show on Triple M.